Yeah, let's remove that, so at least drop them down so we can see people. Thank you. Good afternoon. We're delighted to welcome you all to this oral argument, but especially delighted to welcome students from Marshfield High School. Would they please stand? Thank you for coming. Now, oh, you didn't all stand? Well, stand again. All right, all of you, all of you. All Marshfield High School students, stand. All right, now we can see you all. Thank you for coming. You may be seated. The students are here with a program that this court runs with the State Bar of Wisconsin. It is a national award-winning program. We invite students from across the state to come and join us for an oral argument. And if the students accept the invitation, they're given briefs. My goodness, this one, they got a lot of briefs for the case that they're going to hear. And usually the students come in the morning rather than in the afternoon because it fits their schedule better. And at noon, they meet with a justice of this court to discuss the cases. Justice Crooks was the justice today. Was Marshfield there?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. So
good
Marshfield.
Questions, too.
Good. Well, we're glad that you were able to come, and we're delighted about your good questions. So the meeting dealt with not the substance of the case we're about to hear, but the procedure of the court in taking cases and then in deciding them. So with the introductions of Marshfield High School made, let me just say that if anyone would like a summary of the case we are about to hear, it's easier to listen to a case if you know the facts and the legal issues. Raise your hand and our deputy marshal will bring a summary of the case to you. Just raise your hand if you want it. All right? Seeing no hands, let me introduce the court to all of you. I'm Shirley Abrahamson, the Chief Justice. You've all met Justice Crooks, who met with at noon. Seated to his left is Justice Patience Robensack, and to her left, Justice Annette Ziegler. On the far right is an empty chair. Justice Lewis Butler will not be participating in this case. Next to the empty chair is Justice David Prosser. To my immediate right is Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. With those introductions made, I'll call our third case for today, 2005 AP 1473, 2006 AP 174, 2006 AP 175, Wire Data Inc. versus Village of Sussex, Village of Thanesville, and the City of Port Washington. Let me just go through the lineup so we don't have any questions. 25 minutes for Mr. Bitar, representing the defendants, the three of them.
Your Honor, we represent Port Washington and Village of Sussex.
Okay. 15 minutes for Barbara O'Brien, representing Matthews Assessment. 25 minutes for Daniel Johnson, representing Grota Appraisals et al. 30 minutes for Alan Deutsch, representing Wire Data. 5 minutes for Mr. Bedar, rebuttal, and 5 minutes for Daniel Johnson, rebuttal, correct? That's a lot of sitting. All right. We're going to start with you, counsel.
May it please the court, Ramsey Bedar on behalf of the Village of Sussex and the City of Port Washington. This is an open records case. This is not a case about secreting records or hiding records. This is a case in which the Village of Sussex and the City of Port Washington offered the information that they had available to them from the beginning of this case. This is not a case in which the municipalities denied Wire Data's request for records or said, you can't have it, we're not going to give it to you. Rather, this is a case in which they offered information to Wire Data. Wire Data did not want that information, It wanted information in an alternate format that was offered by a separate authority, in this case, assessors holding the appointed position of statutory assessor. This case involves who has the custody of sought-after records, who is the authority, and what are the economic implications of the Court of Appeals decision.
Of what import is who has custody?
Well, I think under the open records law, it's important to determine, first, who is the authority, and second, what records do they have that are in their custody. And I think 19.21 lays out the foundation for each officer of a state or of a county or a town is a legal custodian and shall safely keep his or her records. In this case, the assessors were statutorily appointed to local office. They have the information in the alternate format that Wire Data is looking for. The information that the municipalities have was offered to the plaintiff, to Wire Data. They did not want the information in that format. They wanted an alternate format.
Mr. Batar, did your clients have anything to do with the fee that was being asked for here? I understand it was $6,600 plus a per parcel charge. Did your clients have anything to do with that?
No, we did not, Your Honor. Those decisions were made by the assessors in this case, by Grota, not by the municipalities. Again, the municipalities in this case offered the information that they had. The information they had was a PDF, basically a paper copy of the assessment records. That is not what Wire Data wants for its own business needs. It needs to have that data in electronic format. It needs the raw data. The municipalities did not have access or control to that information. A separate, an individual authority, the assessors here, who were statutorily appointed to hold a local office, had that information.
Now, and they made the decisions. They're statutorily appointed. They're appointed by the municipalities, are they not?
You are correct. They're appointed through the municipality's powers, first under Section 70.05, that requires every taxation district to have an assessor. And then if you look at the codes for a village under Chapter 60, and if you look under Chapter 61 for a city, you'll find the legislative grant of authority that allows a village and a city to appoint an assessor to hold a local office.
Well, isn't there some control by the municipalities over these people that they appoint as assessors?
In this case, the assessors were, in some sense, an agent of the municipalities, but the proper approach is to review what records they had possession of and to determine whether more appropriately they are the officers, they are the authorities. In this case, the municipalities did not have any control over these authorities any more than what the open records law itself required these assessors to do in this case. So if this court is looking for the ability to control the assessors in this case, I think we have to look at the open records law, which defines who is the authority, and in this case the assessors holding a statutorily appointed position and having access and control of the information that Wire Data is looking for.
Oh, one, didn't the assessor take an oath?
Yes, they did take an oath of office.
Oh. Does that make them the agent?
Well, I don't think it makes them an agent in...
Let me ask a different question. Why should they be treated any differently than a full-time hired assessor?
Well, they should be treated differently because in this case, the legislature has allowed their appointment. And in this case, decisions were made based upon business interests, based upon software licensing agreements.
I know, but that went to the federal court, so you don't have copyright issues anymore, do you?
No, the Seventh Circuit ruled that the raw data is not copyrighted.
All right. It says authority means any of the following having custody. So authority means custody, but a state or local office, elected official, agency, board, commission, committee, council, department, or public body, corporate and politic, created by the Constitution, etc., except the Bradley Center. So where does the assessor come in?
Well, the assessor would come in under the language of local office, and that's That's the language that the Court of Appeals overlooked in reviewing the record.
They're a local office. Why shouldn't they be treated the same as a hired assessor, full-time employee?
Well, in this case, we have assessors who are making decisions based on their own personal business reasons. They were not making decisions in furtherance of the governmental interest. So in that sense, they are very different than an elected official or some other another type of official under another type of case. If we look at the record in this case and the decisions that were being made for the records that were in their possession, the electronic records, they had custody of those records, mm-hmm. not the municipality, and they made decisions based on business reasons, not reasons in furtherance.
You don't want to be liable for what they did.
Well, I think the approach that this court has to look at is, A, were they authority? And yes, because they were appointed to a local office. And B, what records did they have custody of? In this case, they had the records that Wire Data was looking for. And then C, if A and B are true, then C, we look at what their obligations were under the open records law. And they
you
had
don't
obligations.
You don't want to be liable for them, do you?
Well,
for their acts, do you?
In this case, under 19.37, providing penalties, those penalties should flow to the assessors, because in this case they are statutorily appointed, they are holding local office, and they are making decisions, decisions which in no way benefited the governmental interest. And so the Court of Appeals erred by overlooking the definition of authority under Section 19.32 and by instead looking over at the Code of Ethics, which does not define who is an authority. The Code of Ethics has nothing to do with the open records law, and I think the Court of Appeals placed heavy reliance upon the provisions under Section 19.42 in the Code of Ethics. And if you actually look at the definition of local public office under 19.42, you will find that there's a more expansive definition in the open records law. And so the proper inquiry of the Court of Appeals should have been simply to look at authority and not to rely upon language found in a separate statute. The open records law, of course, is the more specific statute which should control. The Court of Appeals should have also noted that the definition of authority, it has many enumerations. It's broad, but all of those enumerations hinge on the fact that it must be someone, an entity, whoever, having custody of a record. An authority means any of the following having custody of a record. And the court overlooked that. In this case, the information the municipalities had was very limited, and it's not what Wire Data wanted. At that point, the municipalities' obligations under the open records law were complete, and we directed Wire Data to the authority who was statutorily appointed and holding local office,
Council?
Who had custody of those records.
Let's take a tour of the statutes. And let's start with the definition of authority under 19.32.1. As I understand your argument, the assessor is a local office. Authority means any of the following having custody of a record, a state or local office. Is that correct? Is that your argument?
Well, Your Honor, I don't know if we have to necessarily pigeonhole them into any of the enumerations
I think you
here,
do.
But I think
this
I
is
think,
not a matter of common law. This is, I mean,
I think
if
I
they're
think,
not a statutory definition, if they don't fulfill the statutory definition, then how can they be authority?
Sure, and I agree. I think the best, the most appropriate enumeration here is local office, because
local
if,
office.
If we look at
okay.
the statutory mechanisms.
Okay, let's take what does local office mean? Then let's. Local office means 19.32.1.DM, I think. That's local public office. Is that where we go to?
I don't think we need to go there. I think the Court of Appeals was misdirected. None of the parties addressed local public office before the Court of Appeals.
Well, I want to go there. And it defines local public office has the meaning given in 1942-7W. So let's take a look at, there's two definitions for local public office. Now, I understand it's not the same as a state or a local office, elected official, etc. But local public office has two definitions in one DM. One definition is 1942-7W, and the second definition follows right there in the text. But the first one referenced is 1942-7W. So let's take a look at that. What does local public office mean under 7W? Under 7WC, it is an appointive office or position of a local government unit. Is that your assessor here? An appointive office or position of a local government unit?
Yes, Your Honor, that is the assessor's.
Okay, but then it goes on to say, except a position limited to the exercise of ministerial action or a position filled by an independent contractor. Is your assessor an independent contractor?
The contracts may refer to him as an independent contractor, yes. But I think we have to look at the record, at the statutory mechanisms. Again, under 70.05, every taxation district must have an assessor. And then if we look at the code for villages under 60 and for municipalities under 61, they are allowed to appoint individuals into public office.
Right.
And the contracts in this case, the deposition testimony, the pleadings, it's really undisputed that they are holding a local office.
Okay, I'm right with you. 7W that we were just talking about is a local public office. 7WC, this assessor is an appointive office or position as part of the definition of what a local office means, except can't be an independent contractor. Well, then let's go back to 1932, 1DM for the second definition of local public office. And that is after it refers to 1942-7W, but as we recall, that has an exclusion for an independent contractor. Here's the next definition of the two definitions set forth in 1DM. It also includes an appointive office or position of a local government unit. Is that your assessor?
Yes, an appointive office.
Okay. In which an individual serves as the head of a department, agency, or division of local government, of a local governmental unit. Is that your assessor? Does your assessor serve as a head of a department, agency, or division of local governmental unit?
Yes, in this case, on this record, the assessors are appointed and they are the head of the assessment office. For these cities and these villages. Mm-hmm. And most communities in this state do take the route of appointing an assessor.
Okay, so your assessor, you're saying, is the head of a department of a local governmental unit. And what's the name of the department and how many people are in that department?
Well, in this case, we have for the Village of Sussex, we have Grota Appraisals. I believe he's a...
He's an independent contractor. Is an independent contractor the same under the statute as the head of a local governmental department, agency, or division?
An independent contractor is different than an appointed office holder. They have different responsibilities.
Yeah.
I think an independent contractor, like you have, for instance, in the Journal Sentinel case, you have a true agency-type relationship here.
Okay, let me ask the question more pointedly. The second definition of 1DM, which is any appointive office or position of a local governmental unit in which an individual serves as the head of a department, agency, or division of a local governmental unit, but does not include any office or position filled by a municipal employee. Does your assessor come within that definition, and if so, why?
Our assessor comes within the definition of a local office under authority. And again, Your Honor, we would submit on behalf of...
The one that I just read to you, does it come within that definition? Maybe you don't have it in front of you, so maybe
no, I do.
Not
I have
fair.
One DM
okay.
in front of me.
Does it come within an appointive office or position of a local governmental unit in which an individual serves as the head of a department, agency, or division of the local governmental unit? If it does, explain to me how it fulfills that definition.
Sure. The assessors here fulfill this language. They are the appointed office or position in which an individual serves as the head of the department. And they do that because we look at we look again at 70.05, we look at 61.197, and we look at 62.09.
Hey, could you give me those statutes again?
Sure. 70.05, you'll find under the tax code, it requires that each taxation district have an assessor.
Yeah.
And then we look at 61.197, subsection 1, subsection F, and it allows villages to appoint an independent contractor as the municipal assessor.
Does it say anything in 1F, I don't have it in front of me, about the assessor being the head of a governmental agency or division or department?
Well, I don't think it'll use the language head. No, I don't.
Does it say anything about shall be a governmental unit, agency, division?
Well, 61.197, for example, subsection 1F, pertains to the selection of officers for cities, and it enumerates the type of officers and their charge. And if we look at subsection 1F, it allows a corporation or an independent contractor may be appointed as the village assessor.
Yeah, I have that right in front of me. And then it says that the designee shall file the oath, and for purposes of this subsection, independent contractor means, a person who is either under contract to furnish appraisal and assessment services or is customarily engaged in an independently established business or profession in which the services are offered to the general public. That doesn't sound to me like your independent contractor is the head of a governmental agency department, but maybe it is. Maybe I'm missing something.
Well, I think, Your Honor, we look at these statutes. We look at their function in their office. We look at their duties under Chapter 7, everything from discovering to properties and their values and listing those values. They have to evaluate exemptions under the tax code. They can even examine persons under oath regarding property assessments. So they fulfill and they function as a public officer, and they are appointed. And I think it's important that we try to stick to the definition of authority, because I think this best fulfills the policy under the open records law. I think if the policy is to have openness in government, we want to look at officials who are not simply rank-and-file employees who have been appointed, that they and they are functioning as a local office, that they be considered an authority. And the definition of authority indicates that persons having custody and holding local office. Quite frankly, Your Honor, I feel that the Court of Appeals erred by looking at these definitions of local public office. I think what we need to do here is look at what is the definition of an authority. Once we answer that question, we have to look at what were the records or information in the possession of that authority. So in this case, given the statutory appointments, we have Grota holding office, and it's really undisputed that he's holding public office. If you look at his deposition testimony, he admits it as much. He has the electronic data that Wire Data is looking for.
Counselor, is Wire Data entitled to the electronic data in the same format that it's maintained by the assessor?
Well, I think that's an issue that Grota is going to discuss today. But I do think that the requester is entitled to that electronic data. And but in this case, the information that the municipalities had was limited. It's called a viewer version of the assessment data. It's in PDF. You can print it off.
So you provided the city's or the village's PDF files to Wire Data?
Eventually, in this case, the PDF files eventually came from Assessment Technologies.
But on behalf of the villages, a PDF file with all the tax information was provided?
Well, the municipalities offered initially to provide what they had. Later on in the case, Grota made the decision, along with Assessment Technologies and Andrew Pelkey, to turn over the raw assessment data in a PDF version. And I think that issue may be addressed later on as to the sufficiency of that version. Right. However, initially, I mean, from the beginning of this case, the municipalities offered what they had. There's no doubt that Wire Data does not want that. For their business needs, they need the raw data. And the custodian
don't you,
isn't
the raw data in the files the city had? I mean, if I come and look up my assessment, can I find out from my street address or name or some other indexed topic what my assessment is, and can't I look up and see what information you have on me?
Sure. There's a couple records here. First, we have the traditional paper record cards, like you would have in a file cabinet. We have those records.
Okay.
We also have...
Were they offered to Wire Data?
Sure.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Those records, we also have the PDF version of what's on the assessor's database.
Okay.
That was offered as well. Again, Wire Data does not want that. They want the raw data. And so we have really a third record
but
in this case.
But the raw data is in the PDF file, and the raw data is on the cards, correct?
Yes, it is in...
So it's the format that we're arguing about
yes,
here today.
Yes, it's the format, yes.
Okay. Just so I'm clear.
Yes,
thank
they
you.
Want it electronically, digitally, the format.
Oh, PDF is electronic, but they don't
well,
want a picture. They want a manipulable picture.
That's
or a
correct.
Manipulable file.
They want to be able to work with it.
Sure.
And that information was available from the assessors.
Okay, thank you.
Could I ask you, Grota Appraisals LLC, are you saying that is an authority?
Yes, and as well, in the Port Washington case, it would be Matthews. Their contracts are very similar. Their deposition testimony in this case is very similar. They acknowledge having custody.
Okay. Assessment Technologies, LLC. Is that an authority?
Assessment Technologies, I don't believe they would be, Your Honor. First, there's no relationship between the municipalities and Assessment Technologies. And Assessment Technologies is neither an agent of the municipalities nor is it appointed by the municipalities to hold a local office.
Okay. Now, if we hold that Grota Appraisals LLC is an authority, could a person come in and ask for the telephone records of Grota Appraisals LLC?
Well, that request, if they are an authority and if they have telephone records, they would be the authority in custody of those records. And Grota would have to make a decision, just like any authority, as to whether or not to produce those. And a decision would have to be made whether public access can be allowed to such information, whether there's a statutory exemption or whether there's a common law exemption or whether there's perhaps a need to balance disclosure with the public's interest in disclosure.
What I'm really trying to get matters. At is once you designate something as an authority, are all the records that they hold subject to potential open records requests where this balancing would have to take place?
Well, I think it's a case-by-case basis. In this case, the assessors, as authorities, have assessment information in raw, digital, electronic format, which Wire Data is looking for. I think in another case, you know, on a record that's not before the court right now, I think the authorities have to go case by case to determine what is being asked for and whether they have that before they turn it over. I mean, if you're asking me, for instance, whether they can ask for some type of confidential information or some other exception, I think the authority has to make a decision before it discloses the record.
Counselor, did you consider Section 19.36 in your analysis about whether or not the independent contractor assessors were, in fact, authorities? 1936 sub 3 basically talks about what an authority does, but it also talks about an authority entering into an agreement with another person. And
yes, we did.
It then exempts it from the copy. Okay, would you discuss that for me a little
yes,
bit?
Yes, we did take a look at 19.36 subsection 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Court of Appeals did as well. And that's a point where we feel the Court of Appeals erred. That provision says that any record produced or collected under a contract entered into by an authority with a person other than an authority, you know, must be provided. And we don't take issue with that, of course, and that's really the holding of Journal Sentinel. This case is different. We have a statutorily appointed local office holder. Grota and Matthews are the authorities. They are not the person, quote, other than an authority, close quote. They are the authority.
You don't think that the village is an authority as well?
Yes, the village is an authority for the information it has. It has the traditional paper cards, and it has the PDF version. We are an authority for that. We offered that information. Wire Data rejected that information. I see my time is up, Your Honor. We offered that information, and that was not in the format that Wire Data wanted. That format was available from another authority who had that information and who took steps to work to provide that information and made separate decisions to deny that information based on, you know, business reasons, the software licensing reasons, and not decisions to deny that in any way furthered the governmental interest.
Thank you.
In effect, your argument is that you can delegate this authority to keep the records of the assessors, and to the extent the assessor doesn't turn it over to you, you have no responsibility for it.
This case in no way is about delegating or trying to have delegate authority.
You're not doing this as a subterfuge. You are doing this assessment. I understand that. But in effect, if you don't have the full information from the assessor, you don't want to be held liable for the assessor's failure to turn it over.
On this case and on this record, I do think it's manifestly unfair because they were statutorily appointed. They are local office holders. The open records law should govern them and control them as to their responsibilities. And it's for those reasons that the penalties and the fees under 19.37 should flow towards them, not flow back towards the municipalities who in no way directed them and requested them to deny. I mean, their denials weren't even from the beginning in the proper format. Federal court litigation was begun against Wire Data. This was not directed by the municipalities. I see my time is up.
Thank you, Counsel. You have 5 minutes in rebuttal. Barbara O'Brien, representing Mathis Assessment.
May it please the Court and Counsel, I represent Mathis Assessments, who is the independent contractor retained by the City of Port Washington to do the assessment work. Mathis Assessments is Mr. and Mrs. Mathis right here, and they sit here in this courtroom today. And I say to this court that they don't belong in this case. They've been dragged along in this case, and they don't belong here. And the Court of Appeals questioned why Mathis was in this case and then appropriately dismissed Mathis from the case based upon a complete lack of any support in statutory or case law to keep him in the case. And I implore you to affirm the Court of Appeals decision for several reasons. First, getting into the authority issue, I don't believe that Mathis Assessments as an independent contractor qualifies as an authority under the statute. The municipality is the authority, and the law says the municipality cannot delegate their duties under the open records law by shifting it to an independent contractor.
So does the municipality have everything you need?
Yes, the municipality did, other than the actual database, which the only thing that Mathis Assessments had was a hard copy of the database that was encrypted. They had no ability to go in and decrypt it, to manipulate it, to get past the password because it was password protected. So the city had copies of all of the actual assessment printouts that Mathis had offered to Wire Data right from the start. Mathis said, I can provide to you the assessment printouts with all the data on it, but I don't have the ability to provide to you the actual database based upon my licensing agreement. And in doing so, if Mathis had turned it over based upon that licensing agreement, Mathis would have been breaching the contract with Assessment Technologies and faced legal consequences in that regard. And as I mentioned, even if Mathis could have turned it over, he did not, or Mathis Assessments did not have the ability to give it in the form that he later found out Wire Data wanted it in. Again, a manipulative form. If you look specifically, and there's been a lot of questions with regard to the definition of authority, if you look specifically at the definition of authority, It's interesting. It states state and local offices, and it states boards and commissions and agencies, and then it states individually elected officials. It doesn't say appointed officials. It doesn't say appointed positions. It doesn't say independent contractors. The legislature was very specific on what it included in the definition of authority. So even if Matthews is considered an officer, and I believe his contract says specifically he's an independent contractor, but even if he's considered an officer, the definition of authority doesn't say an appointed officer. It says an elected official. And contrary to what Port Washington wants to say, Matthews is not the office. Matthews is an official if he's considered an officer under the statutes, but he certainly isn't the office himself. For example, there's a mayor's office, but the mayor is the official filling the mayor's office. The office is the governmental entity. The person or entity filling that position is the officer or official. And if you read the statutes in the entirety, that's the only way that it makes sense. The legislature knew that there were officials. The legislature knew that there were offices. And the legislature knows that there's officers within those offices and specifically stated it when drafting the language. In addition, looking at 19.32, the definition of a local public office, the legislature did specifically exclude independent contractors. The legislature knew that a city or a municipality could contract for independent contractors. It wasn't just a guess that they said, oh, just in case a city might contract with an independent contractor, let's put an exclusion in. You look at 62.09, and a city is given authority to contract with an independent contractor. So the legislature comes along and excludes that independent contractor. There's no doubt that Matthews is an independent contractor in this case. Wisconsin law permits it, and the contract between Matthews and the city specifically said that Matthews was an independent contractor. It doesn't say
court,
Matthews.
Of course, is not bound by how the parties label each other. They label each other for a variety of reasons. The court looks beyond that.
But when you have a specific contract that says the work I'm going to do, I'm doing this, and I'm going to do it as an independent contractor, that's the agreement between the two parties, and we have that in this case. It's not just a question where we're hoping we might fill the independent contractor role. We statutorily have a right to be an independent contractor for the city, and we have a contract that says that. So based upon...
Could I ask,
sir,
from your description of the facts, it seems that Matthews is slightly different from Grota Appraisals. Is that right? Are you identical, at least on a legal basis, or not?
I don't believe we're in the same boat as Grota and Assessment Technologies, and the reason is this. The contract that was entered into between Matthews and the City of Port Washington specifically provided that Matthews would use the market drive to do the residential assessments. That's what the contract says. Matthews doesn't own the Market Drive program, doesn't have any, ownership in it whatsoever, any interest in it. He just uses the Market Drive system to put in the data. And he does so for the city, and the city is aware of it based upon the contract, because it makes the assessments a lot more accurate, and it makes it easier to change if somebody adds a room on, and they can just plug that in. So it makes it much easier for the city and for Matthews in doing the assessment work. But again, he can't go in and change the database or make it manipulative or make it de-encrypted. He can't do that. That he doesn't have that ability. It kind of would be like a TurboTax. I can put my data in, and I can show you what data I put in, and it'll give me a printout, and you can look at the printout, but I can't start taking TurboTax and change it all around and give you something in a different format. I have to give you whatever TurboTax prints out to me, and that's the position that Matthews Assessment sits in this case. They don't have that ability to do that.
How is that different from Grota Appraisals? Grota Appraisal, as I understand it, does not own the Market Drive program.
And I'm not exactly sure the relationship, other than I know that Mr. Grota also owns Assessment Technologies, and so they specifically talked with Andrew Pelkey to get him to work out something with regard to providing the data with or for the municipalities and wire data, and we don't have that ability. We didn't have Andrew Pelkey working for us or to be able to do that. All we had was a licensing agreement that said we can't turn it over to anybody. We can't turn that database over, and if you do, you're breaching your contract. And so that's kind of what we were left with. But even if you look at the authority statute and then you go on to some of the other statutes under the open records law, such as 19.33 sub 7 says an authority can designate someone to be a legal custodian, but the authority still remains the one who's responsible. The legislature holds the governmental entity accountable.
How about 1936 sub 3, Counselor?
In 1936 sub 3, I think the legislature contemplated this exact thing, because statutorily the municipality is entitled to retain an independent contractor, and there they said the authority still holds responsibility providing the records under the open records law to the same extent as if the authority had custody. So we know that actual physical custody is not a requirement under the open records law to be an authority, because the legislature has carved out this exception in 1936 sub 3. And finally, if we look at the penalty phase of the statute, and I think, Justice Abramson, you were kind of referring to this, but they want it both ways. They want us to be part of the city, but they don't want us to be part of the city for purposes of liability. The statute says the authority or the unit of government of which it is part is responsible to pay. It can't be a personal liability of the public official. So if Matthews Assessments is an officer, the penalty statute even says we should not... Matthews Assessments should not be liable, but rather the governmental entity, and in this case, the City of Port Washington. So I don't believe that the mandamus action is appropriate against Matthews Assessments. It is appropriate against the city and not Matthews Assessments. And it's difficult difficult to imagine how it would be to enforce an open records law if a governmental entity could dole off their responsibility to an independent contractor and say, citizen, you know, we don't have anything to do with it. We don't have the records here. You got to go find the independent contractor and say you've got an independent contractor who's potentially going out of business, or he's judgment proof, or he's not responding like he should, or he's subcontracted his work out to somebody else, and now he says to the citizen, you go to somebody else. It just goes on, and that can't possibly be what the legislature intended, because they said, government, we need to keep our records open to the citizens, and government, you need to make sure that the citizens can get those records.
Isn't it a little unfair to say that it's appropriate to have a mandamus action against the municipality, but the municipality isn't really in a position to turn everything over, or are they?
The municipality is in a position.
Really not in a position to turn everything over, or are they?
Sure they are. Absolutely. The city could have one contracted for it with the open records law in mind and included that in the contract with Matthews. Secondly, the city could purchase the Market Drive itself and get that information if it wanted and work with Assessment Technologies. One of the benefits for the city is not having to pay for that Market Drive. That's strictly paid by the Matthews. They pay that fee and that licensing agreement to save money for the city. But if the city had big concerns that they would not be able to get that information, they could have the license with Market Drive itself, or included that in their contract, or insulated themselves by putting some type of indemnity provision in the contract that if we get brought into this open records case and it's found that you did something wrong, you're responsible for the payment. So there is something that the city could do. In addition to they had the records, at least the paper records, to respond to the request rather than just shifting them to Matthews to let Matthews handle the request.
Ms. O'Brien, was Matthews involved in setting the $6,600 fee and the per parcel fee also?
It was not, Your Honor, not at all. Matthews Assessments responded to Wire Data's request. They only got one request from Wire Data. They responded to Wire Data's request and said you can have the paper printouts, or if you're looking for the database, and I'm not sure that's what you're looking for, but if you're looking for the database, I have a license agreement with Assessment Technologies. I can't turn it over. You'll have to talk to them about that licensing agreement. And that's the only contact, really, that Matthews Assessments had with regard to assessment technologies and setting any rates or anything like that. They really had no part in at all.
Let me see. The municipality had a PDF, is that right? PDF records? Have I got the right term here?
Eventually, the municipality got the PDF records. Again, Port Washington and Matthews sit in a little different position. We didn't have Andrew Pelkey working with us to do all this kind of thing, but Assessment Technologies did eventually provide to Wire Data the PDF. What Port Washington had at the time that the request was made was the actual paper records that Matthews had. They had assessment data printouts that Matthews had.
Is your position that Matthews, in the wake of this open records request, that Matthews really didn't have to do a thing?
I think that the open records request didn't properly come to Matthews. I don't think it had to come to Matthews. I think the city had to respond to it. But I think Matthews, in its contract with the city, had to provide that information to the city, whatever it could provide. And it did provide to the city whatever it had. So, yes, I think part of his or part of its contract is to create the records and then provide them to the city, and he did in the format that he was able to provide them to, provide to the city. And he didn't have any other format other than a database that was encrypted under a licensing agreement. And let me just get a little bit into the breach of the contract issue, because I think that the open records law, there's nowhere in the open records law that says somebody is required to breach a contract in order to comply with a request, and that's exactly what Matthews would have had to do, have to done in this case. He would have had to face legal consequences by Assessment Technologies had he turned over that database, and we know he probably would have faced legal consequences because Assessment Technologies took Wire Data to the task by taking the case into federal court. So really, he was breach or no breach. That's all that he had to do, or take the printouts, the assessment data printouts. And again, you can see the ramifications. If a private entity that is a benefit to the city doing this assessment work, so the city doesn't have to bring on a full-time staff and do all the computer programming and all that kind of stuff, if there's a possibility that these private entities may have to breach contracts, face legal consequences, why would anybody want a contract with the city to do that kind of work if that's a potential out there? Finally, as I mentioned, even if Matthews could have provided the database, it didn't have the ability to do so. It couldn't access the tables and the data or put it in the format that Wire Data wanted. And incidentally, it didn't learn about that actual format that Wire Data wanted until almost 3 years after the lawsuit, because, again, the only actual notice that Matthews got was the original one that said, we want this data, and he replied saying, well, if you're asking for the database, I can't give it to you, but here are the printouts. He learned through deposition testimony, or Matthews Assessments learned through deposition testimony, 3 years later that they wanted it unencrypted, not password protected, and capable of data manipulation. And again, he was unable to do so.
Thank you, Ms. O'Brien.
Thank you.
Johnson?
Good afternoon, and may it please the Court. I'm Dan Johnson, and I represent Grota Appraisals, Assessment Technologies, and Michael Grota in this case. And I'd like to start with the declared purposes of the open record law. And the declared purpose is so that the citizens are informed or are capable of being informed about the affairs of the government. The declared purpose is so that we have an informed electorate to shed light on the workings of our government and to provide the public with opportunities to oversee the workings of their government. Since the moment that the requests in this case were made, those purposes have been fulfilled. From the moment that the requests in this case were made, paper copies were made available.
Let me focus on that. The requests were made when? I forget it, like April something?
June? April 2001.
Yeah. We have a copy of the request in our appendix. How soon after the request was made did someone offer to Wire Data either
paper records, printout, or PDF?
Regarding the paper, I believe it was in within weeks. So.
Okay, but weeks makes a difference with open records requests. So, what do you think it is?
Well, I the date that sticks in my mind is I think it was May 4th. So I think it was exactly 2 weeks, and I'm sorry, it could be off by a couple days on that.
And May 4th relates to from whom to whom?
I believe that correspondence would have came from Attorney Macy, representing the Village of Sussex, to Attorney Deutsch. And that correspondence was on the heels of an April 24th letter from Attorney Deutsch, 4 days after the requests were made threatening the litigation. So we have the efforts on behalf of the parties here to satisfy the paper requests within, I'd say, 2 weeks. So.
And when you say parties, you mean both in terms of both of the municipalities for whom you work as an assessor?
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Both of the municipalities that for whom you work as an assessor. You have two municipalities in this case, right?
That's correct. Grota performs assessment services for two municipalities in this case. And I believe that only dealt that correspondence only dealt with the Village of Sussex. I think that the Village of Thiensville's response was somewhat delayed by that. And I know for a fact there was correspondence on June 4th from Attorney Kane on behalf of the Village of Thiensville to Wire Data, enumerating how they were diligently working towards figuring out how to respond to the request.
So it's your position that when I find it, I will see in that May 4th letter from Attorney Macy saying, here, you can have the records.
Hmm? Yeah, and I believe that what the correspondence will say is two things. You can have the paper records, and that's never been in dispute. Grota Appraisals offered the paper records as well, saying that we can make printouts of this data. And we heard immediately that that's not what the request was dealing with.
Your response to my question, then, is that May 4th is the first time that anyone offered records of either paper, printout, or PDF to Wire Data. Is that correct?
I'd like a chance to check the record, which I don't have in front of me here. I don't know the exact date, but it was within weeks, and I know that much for certain.
And it's embodied in the letter from Attorney Macy. Is that correct?
I believe so. There's a lot of correspondence that goes back and forth in this case. It's a voluminous record, and that's
I know,
my best
but it's a little hard to decide if the records were turned over timely if we don't know the timing.
Correct. We do know that it was within at least within 6 weeks of a time frame here, and I apologize again for not knowing the exact date of the correspondence, but
it's okay. I don't have it right here either. So.
Okay.
But the issue is that these paper records were not what they wanted.
Yeah, at any rate, whenever it was, even if it was the day afterwards, it would not have been the paper records which they were after.
What exactly did they ask for?
Electronic digital copies of the assessment data used in the community.
And you didn't give them electronic digital? Paper is not electronic digital, is that right?
Paper is not, no.
Okay.
But I disagree that we did not give them electronic digital. That came in 2004.
Okay, but in 2001, you didn't give them electronic digital.
No, no.
But they asked for it.
They asked for it.
And why didn't you give it to them?
Two reasons. Number one, what my client did was undertake an effort to see how to get this data out of the Market Drive software. Grota Appraisals, like Matthews Assessments, is not a computer expert. They have literally no clue how to extract the data out if they could. And so Grota Appraisals undertook an independent effort to print this data instead of sending it to a printer driver, sending it to an electronic file. And Grota Appraisals was under the impression that this had to be done on a property-by-property basis. And therefore, in order to get Wire Data what they wanted, they estimated it would take 2 minutes per parcel. And based on the number of parcels in the Village of Sussex, the The request could be fulfilled, but it would be timely, and it would cost approximately $3,100. So that's reason number one. And reason number two is at the time that the request was made, was immediately following Assessment Technologies' development of this software at great effort and at great expense. And by revealing the database as it sat then, not only would they have to reveal the structure of the database, the tables and the columns that the Seventh Circuit refers to, but they would have to go over and above and beyond that. And that would be to provide a code to English translation so that the data could be understood by a reader. And so if the data were given as it were, it would be incomprehensible without further work by Assessment Technologies. So,
Counselor, did you do any research to see if, in fact, what they were requesting was even something they were or should have had access to under the open records? I mean, I look under subsection 1935.1L, and it talks about this subsection does not require an authority. Forget about whether you were or you weren't an authority, but just say you were. To create a new record by extracting information from existing records and compiling the information in a new format.
Exactly, and I think that that's what ultimately, when we ascertain what the real meaning of this request is, ultimately, in order to comply with that request, we would have to exceed open records obligations under 1935.1L by creating that new record. For instance, the data would have to be rearranged in order to slide comfortably into the wire data database. And if not rearranged, then a new document would have to be created, and we'd have to provide to them a data layout, which I don't think anyone can say at this point in time is an appropriate record. Mm-hmm. These databases are created at great expense, and they're created at great expense on behalf of private parties, and by their use on governmental projects, such as the ones at issue in this case, does not convert the database structure into a record under even the Seventh Circuit's opinion. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, absolutely a new record would have had to be created to comply with their requests.
Okay. Thank you.
So and I'd like to point out at this point in time too that when they ultimately, as long as we're on the topic, that when they ultimately did receive the PDF files, each and every fact, and it's undisputed in the record before the court here, each and every fact regarding each and every property, regarding each and every parcel in each and every municipality, all those facts were embodied within that PDF file. And that's why I can tell the court comfortably today that when we talk about the open records requests and the purpose of the open records law as far as maintaining an informed electorate and providing information to the government, that has been fulfilled here, absolutely.
When did you give them the PDF?
The PDF was provided after the Seventh Circuit's decision, and the PDF was provided in the year 2004 and rejected at that same time as well, or at least rejected insofar as Wire Data stated that they didn't believe it was in responsive to their request. So that was in 2004. So,
but isn't that still a new record? I mean, didn't you create a new record for them when you gave them the PDF?
Absolutely. We actually exceeded our obligations under the open records law by complying with the Seventh Circuit's mandate.
So they got all the raw data. What they didn't get was the format.
Absolutely. All the data's there. That's undisputed. And they could have had all the data on paper to begin with, or even had it in Microsoft Word or a text file, but that's not how they wanted it. So, and I'd like to go back, I guess, to the very start of this litigation, which are the requests themselves. And that's that the statutory framework that we're working here places the burden directly on an open records requester to make a comprehensible request. They have to make it comprehensible both in time limitations and subject matter limitations. And although the statute doesn't require magic words, and we don't say it does, and although Grota Appraisals was working with the Village of Sussex, was working with the Village of Thamesville to formulate a proper response to this, that doesn't mean that the true scope of those requests was ascertainable at the time. The true scope of those requests, and I think Ms. O'Brien touched on this earlier, was not completely known until deposition testimony in 2004. We have correspondence that went to Andrew Pelkey, who is with Impact Consultants, who contracts with Assessment Technologies, who contracts with assessors. We have correspondence with him, but with regard to a request to an actual authority, we only have one in this case, and that's the simple electronic digital copies of the assessment data used. I'm paraphrasing on that. And so one of the things that highlights this and what highlights the temporal and subject matter limitations of their own request is Wire Data's testimony itself. They themselves testified, so you don't know what yours that your open records request applies to, correct? Correct. That's on the temporal. They can't even point to the time frame in which it applies. And on the subject matter, so just to recap, when you make these requests, you don't know which each community, what each assessor has in their database. You don't really even know what you're requesting. You're just requesting the assessment data. It could go back into time, and it's just open-ended as far as what the request could be ascertained to mean. We ultimately conclude that the term electronic digital copy means that there's a hidden meaning that was not enumerated in the request itself. We learned that it's preferably, comma quote, pipe delimited, and there's no way that Grota Appraisals or Matthews Assessments knows any of this, certainly not from the request itself, and certainly not from their technological standpoint from where they sit. They don't know what these words mean. They don't know how to operate the database. And so these hidden words, other times we need it to be manipulable. And other times, and this is what really mystifies the respondents here, is that even though a PDF file is electronic, and even though a PDF file is digital, somehow a PDF file is not an electronic digital file. It has all the data. It's electronic. It's digital. That was compliant with the request. So.
Well, what the problem, or one of the problems is, we've got a request for electronic data, okay? It's hard for the requester to tell you a lot about how and when and why you're going to comply because they don't know how you keep your electronic data. Isn't that right?
I believe they do now, but at the time...
No, but at the time of the request,
sure.
Right? So, seems to me that under the public records law, the authority, assuming your authority, is supposed to say, I can't give you this because, or I can give you this, I can't give you this, because if this is what you're asking for, I don't have it, or whatever. And it seems to me that when you're talking about electronic digital material, that the parties have to sort of get together and figure out what it is that they're asking for, and then you have to decide whether you're going to give it to them or not. That it's not like a paper record that we are all familiar with. Even there, you have disputes about the scope and the nature of the paper record. But just throwing up your hands and not making inquiry, if you're the authority, doesn't seem to me in keeping with the public open records, public records law.
And sure, and that's how this case got down the track of a proposed private business transaction. That's exactly how Andy Pelkey was ultimately informed of this, because Grota Appraisals was working diligently in an attempt to fulfill the request. He was doing everything he possibly could to get the request fulfilled. He went so far as to engage an independent computer expert and to have them attempt to work with Wire Data and make this transaction a seamless one for Wire Data. For a programming fee, and Justice Crooks, at this point in time, you'd ask a question earlier in the case about who made the decisions on the money. And I think Mr. Bitar said it was Grota, and I'd like to correct that at this point. It was a private business transaction. It was Assessment Technologies of Wisconsin, who under no stretch of the arguments that are before this court is an authority. They're not under the purview of the open records law. And so what happened was Grota goes out and sees if an independent computer expert can assist Wiredata in their request, and the two parties then start speaking about the terms of a private business transaction outside of the scope of the open records law. And that's where the $6,600 comes from. And that's a private business transaction. That is not an open records response. That came from Andy Pelkey, who's about 3 steps removed from in this case.
Well, but so, that's what, isn't this confusing between who, what is the private business here and what you're doing that really is the city? Or village.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
What you're doing, some of this is, you seem to think, private business. But if you are an authority or if you are the agent of the municipality, then you have the obligations under the public records law. And you can't hide, it seems to me, under business. Because this says you're open.
Right, and that's why you have to look at the contractual relationships between the parties in this case. You have the appraisers, Matthies and Grota, who arguably are the ones who you're referring to in that, who are you referring to in that question.
Right.
But there is also a software provider that's one step beyond any relationship with the community. And so that software provider is beyond the scope of the open records law, and that's where the private business transaction takes place. And I will note that this is a factual scenario that the state
why is that, why are they outside the scope? If you're hired by the city to do the appraisals and keep the records, why is what you do with somebody else outside the scope? It seems to me they're inside the scope.
I'm referring to Assessment Technologies and not Grota. And they're clearly outside of the scope. That's how, because they're outside of the scope because they just have contracts with the appraisers to provide software to them. In turn, the appraisers have contracts with the municipalities to provide assessment services to them. There's no relationship between the municipalities and Assessment Technologies, unless the municipalities happen to be in a different category of parties that we don't have before this court, and that would be a municipality that actually does contract and is a market drive licensee. So that's why Assessment Technologies.
Who's responsible here ultimately for getting this material to Wiredata? I mean, everyone says it's the other guy. Who bears the ultimate responsibility of getting electronic digital copies to Wiredata that they can manipulate and it's not in PDF, assuming that's what they asked for, and that's a big assumption.
Yeah, and assuming that the requests were valid and that
yeah, then assuming all of that.
Then it becomes the municipality's square burden, and that is under the contractor's records provision of 1936 sub 3. And that says that the municipalities themselves have, under my interpretation of the statute, it says that they have an independent obligation to make available for inspection and copying the data as if it was created by themselves.
But now the software provider, you say, is beyond the scope. So how can the municipality do anything?
The municipality can make arrangements with the software provider. The municipality and the government routinely makes contracts with software providers and obtains licenses and takes out licenses.
So what was the mistake here, that the municipality let you make the contract with the software provider and that the municipality didn't?
I'm sorry, am I hearing?
Sorry. What was the error here, that you made the contract with the software provider rather than the municipality?
Then the assessor?
The assessor, okay.
No, there's no mistake. This is a factual scenario that's playing out in municipalities and is playing out across the state now. There are software providers that are writing software for state usage, but that doesn't make them subject to the open records law. And so there is no mistake. I mean,
can the municipality get the software from the software maker?
The municipality in these cases has a reader version.
The reader version.
Right.
Municipality has no contract right to anything else.
No, and they've not paid Assessment Technologies as such. So
Judge Posner seemed to think that this request for information could be given in one of four forms readily available with regard to digital, electronic digital records. One of my concerns in these four areas that he set out in his opinion is, look, there can be lots of weeping and gnashing of teeth, but 1935-4A says the authority is supposed to respond and without delay. If we've got cases, WTMJ that says, if an authority says, yeah, we'll comply, but at an unspecified future time, does not constitute filling the request. Rather, it's a denial. The language of that case goes on to say, look, you got two choices, comply or deny. When did you comply with the request made on April 20th, 2001 for an electronic digital copy? When did you comply with that?
The request was complied with during the response, which said, we can hook you up with a private computer programmer, or we can perform this task ourselves. So those took place in I believe, May of, and that's May or June, I'm sorry, June of 04. Mm-hmm. So there was
so
a time.
Yes. 6 weeks. Let's say if it was June 1, it would be 6 weeks from April 20th when the request. Is 6 weeks soon enough? Do you think that people who want open records should be waiting for 6 weeks?
Under the facts of this case, absolutely. And I think that we should not have to establish a bright line rule of immediacy or 10 days. I think that the rule should be one where, given the technological circumstances surrounding this case, given the unknown technological circumstances based on the clients that we have here without the technological expertise, given that, given the legal uncertainties that surrounded these requests, given the fact that my client had never received a request for an entire municipality's worth of data, given that we had difficult circumstances to deal with in this case, not to mention that during this April and May time frame, that's when the assessors are at their busiest time of year. That's when the assessors have their border review functions. They're busy people. And the open records law does speak to this being a part of the function of government, but that governmental business must go on. I mean, we don't have to drop everything and come up with a solution to such a difficult problem in that period of time.
Did you assert that it was unduly burdensome? I mean, there are, you know, exceptions under the statute for denying. Did you ever assert that it was unduly burdensome?
No. The Grotto Appraisals was making every attempt to comply with the request. Mm-hmm. There was not a reason to think that it was unduly burdensome at that point in time.
And there was no assertion that it was indefinite in temporal scope?
Your Honor, the true nature of their request was not even fully understood until the year 2004. We could look at these requests in 2001 and say they appear very broad, but we'll attempt to give you everything that we have. We'll go so far as to go out and hire an independent computer programmer to do so for you. They'll work with you to get the data to you. In 2004, we come to find out that electronic and digital doesn't even mean electronic and digital. That's when the true scope of these requests fully comes illuminated for our clients. We didn't have that information based on the one paragraph that we received in 2001. And so that's why
Listen, Grota's position, and when I read Posner's decision, it seemed like he wasn't all that happy and perceived Grota as overreaching and taking the position that requester wasn't even entitled to paper documents, raw data. Was that your position?
Absolutely not. They were entitled to paper documents. That's been our position.
Was it your position that they were not entitled to raw data?
No. The data they could have, and they eventually did they did get it. We see that in the PDF file. The data is all there.
And so when Judge Posner, page 643, says it only wants the raw data, the data the assessors inputted into Market Drive, that's how he characterized what the requester wants. Were you objecting to that?
Yeah, we come to learn that that's not what the requester wants. If the requester just wants raw data, it has that in the PDF file. So what happens after the Seventh Circuit decision is we come to find out that they're not just interested in the raw data. They want it streamed directly into their computer systems seamlessly and basically at the expense of the private businesses that have interest in this case. And I note that my time is up.
I have a question, counsel.
Yes.
The state Department of Justice, which by statute has a very special role to play in public records law. They want this court, and I would like that too, to provide practical guidance on the public records issues discussed. So, you're going to write the opinion. What would you suggest this court write?
First of all, the first thing that I would have this court write is that the burden is squarely on the requester to frame a request that has subject matter and temporal limitations. This comes straight out of the statute, and the burden is not relieved by any understanding that the recipient of that request may have of the request itself. So temporal and subject matter limitations straight out of the statute. Number two, when a response is required is based on the facts of each case, based on the technological issues, based on the legal issues. All of these open records requests are not alike. In certain circumstances, you can have a request for a photocopy. That request should be granted if the paper is right in front of you. In other cases, such as this one, where the courts have been tangling over the issue for years, where the defendant appraisers have no idea how to run the site, we should be allowed a longer period of time. We should not have a bright-line rule that the response must be immediate. It must be based on the totality of the circumstances that presents itself. And so, lastly, absent those things, that the municipality, assuming that we have a valid request and that assuming that we have a denial, which I don't think that we have in this case, but assuming those things, the last portion would be that the municipalities themselves bear the burden under the statutory framework as authorities, and therefore the Court of Appeals would be reversed.
Now, you did not object to temporal or subject matter. I mean, when you handled this request, you didn't say, give us more time or tell us the subject matter.
No, that's true. And that's okay. Partly because the scope was not fully ascertained.
Okay, but you didn't object on that ground. And usually, if you have to object then, you can't make it up later. You can't say later, ordinarily. Did you ask for more time?
I know that the Village of Thiensville did. And the Village of Sussex, in their correspondence, I believe, said that there were two issues that were being worked out. One was the open records issue, and the second was the private business transaction. And please allow us to work on these things before a mandamus action is filed.
Okay. You think the city should then have an obligation in its contract to say that if you don't provide it the material, that the public records, you're liable? You indemnify them?
Well, the parties are free to contract as they wish, and I think that would be advisable for the municipalities. I'm obviously not representing them. So.
But not here.
Yeah, that we don't have that situation here. Okay. We don't have those provisions here. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Deutsch, representing Wire Data.
Good afternoon, and may it please the court. I'm Alan Deutsch, and I have the honor of representing Wire Data in this particular matter, as I have had all throughout the last 6 years.
Have you got almost the information
seven.
Yet?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
You have the information yet?
No.
Okay.
And that's our point. The affairs of government and the way government is run can't be hidden under a bushel basket for 6+ years, with the only alternative being having to pay exorbitant fees because the information is being held hostage.
Counselor, why didn't you take the PDF file, open it up, copy it from top to bottom, and put it in some other program? Choose what you want and manipulate it that way. You had all the data.
Because that wasn't technologically possible at that point in time, Your Honor.
You know, when I was reviewing
the materials, getting ready for this, I have a bunch of PDF files, because when I send stuff out, like a law review article, I send it PDF. When I get back the reviews before it's finally printed, they've changed it. So I said to my judicial assistant, can you really manipulate a PDF? Oh, yeah, she said. You just open it up, copy it, put it in something else, and manipulate it.
That became available through Acrobat, which is a company that makes it, I believe, in 2005 and 2006. Of course, at the same time, they allowed the creator of the PDF to put in a flag that says, you can't do that, so that the person who creates the PDF really has the option of putting that in. At the point in time when that was offered to us in 2004, in point of fact, we did try to take it apart.
And you couldn't.
And we found we could do it at a very lengthy and time-consuming process.
Okay.
You eventually can copy anything on a bit-by-bit basis.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, they said, why didn't you cut and paste every element? Well, wait a minute. We're talking about if you just go to the 52 elements of the fields that we were talking about, and it should be clear. We originally asked for the database. It was only when they said, we're not giving it to you, what do you really want of it? And we said, well, if you just gave us this, we'd be satisfied. But those are 52 elements. If you took those 52 elements and with each one had to cut and paste for the 2,600 records, you'd be looking at 100,000 transactions where a person would have to do that. As Mr. Shuttleworth indicated in his answer in his affidavit, part of WireData's concern is we want to get accurate data. If we have to do something like that 100,000 times, the human layer of the human error layer becomes so great that you just know you're building in errors, where if you got the original database that their own expert says would only take 2 minutes and I could have copied, we would have been able to use it.
But that's a copyrighted program that someone developed and is making money on. I mean, it's their business to sell that copyrighted program to folks. That's why they didn't want to give it to you.
We weren't looking at the program, Your Honor. It was the same thing as the database, and that's one of the things that they played around with here. The database itself resides in what's known as an Access database, which is a Microsoft program. Market Drive operates on that database. In other words, it can access it and do all sorts of things. It's the same sort of thing, Your Honor. If you wrote a document in Word, you could do certain things with it. But depending on the version you have, you can also go to WordPerfect. WordPerfect can access that file, the one that was created in Word. It now, instead of has a DOC extension, would have a WPD, I think, extension. And you can do other things with it. The point is the data is separate from the program. That's one of the reasons they've referred to, and I was very happy that Mr. Johnson said the municipalities had the read-only version. I agree with that. That's what they had, and that's where in the testimony they say. And if you look in the record on page 202 of the appendix, Pelkey admits if you have a read-only version, you can still make a copy of the database. That doesn't stop you from it. And that's all they had to do. They could.
The PDF is a read-only, too, so I guess I'm not understanding why there's a difference between the two. Is the PDF that you were given one that you couldn't make a copy of in the same way you could have the read-only version?
No, they're not the same thing at all, Your Honor.
Right.
A PDF
okay.
is they went to their program and said, print out this data mm-hmm. as a PDF.
Right. Like okay. taking a picture of it.
Like taking a picture of
right.
it.
Right, yeah.
But the point that WireData is making this is saying, wait a minute, you didn't keep it in PDFs. It was in an Access database.
Mm-hmm.
When we asked your own expert, what do you do to make a copy of the database, which is what we asked for, he said, oh, I use Windows Explorer, where it's click the database, click, and it's copied. We even asked him, how long would it take? And his answer was, well, I got to go get a CD. I got to put the CD in the drive. 2 to 4 minutes.
Is that before or after the federal lawsuit where Judge Posner said if you used the Microsoft Access that it the scope of the license has to be considered? excuse me, and also whether the method of extraction is so cumbersome it would require more effort, because he assumed that it would take a couple of days with, at that time, for the Microsoft access.
I believe that deposition, I don't remember the date and 6 years tends to run, but I'm pretty sure that deposition happened after the federal court decision, and that was part of the state court matter. Shortly after we filed, I believe by November of that year, it was moved into federal court. And that's why I think that deposition was back in state court.
Help me with this.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Help me with this. On April 20th of 2001, you asked for an electronic digital copy.
Yes.
A PDF is an electronic digital copy, but you're not happy with that. You want it in a different format.
We wanted the format that they were keeping it. We didn't want them to convert it to a format that would be harder for us to use. And as indicated on page, I believe it's 183 in Grota's deposition, or is it Grota or Pelkey, said, well, we did that because it would be harder for wire data to reverse engineer and to get at the data.
To get at what they thought was their business work product, for want of a better phrase.
Except I think the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals should have convinced them otherwise.
Well, I'm not sure what it did. At any rate, one of the things the Seventh Circuit said is they were skeptical about this case. That was the term. And I'm skeptical. Why isn't the PDF good enough? I mean, you started out your argument with, we're here for open government, open records, transparency. We want to know how government is conducting its business. And so we want it in a format where we can manipulate the raw data information and repackage it and make it usable to, I suppose, provide or sell to others. Why does government have any function under the umbrella of transparency to assist you in your marketing?
For several reasons, Your Honor. First of all, the data, each element of data or each record is important in itself, but it's greatly important relative to the other pieces of data, relative to the other records. If I go Section 70.47, I believe, of the statutes, allows an assessor to set a value. If it's questioned before the Board of Review, the assessor goes in and says, here's all the comparables. You can't do that with a PDF. You can't do that if all you had is paper copies. I can't fight him. It's unfair to me as a citizen to say, okay, my public money has paid for the assessor to be able to have all this on the database, but when I go to exercise my right to see, okay, I want to look at all of the four bedrooms, houses of this size and of this, I can't just go do that. I either have to go sheet by sheet by sheet by sheet by sheet, which is very time-consuming and unfair, or similarly look at every sheet electronically. It's just not the same thing. And there's no question that Grota knows this. If you look at his answer on page 128 of the appendix, his affirmative defense 14 is he says, oh, this data is available to you, but it's available for sale. And that's what the heart of it is. They want to make the money to sell it. That's the same thing that the Court of Appeals saw and said, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals saw and said, you're trying to use your alleged copyright to make wire data pay for something that they shouldn't have to pay for.
What was the charge for the PDF? Is that in the record? Has that been determined?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
What was the charge for the PDF? Is that in the record? Has the actual cost been yet determined?
I don't believe it is in the record, and I don't recall the number.
Did you pay for it?
Yes, we did. As a matter of fact, since that time, Grota has now, and this, is, of course, is not part of the record, but it's what, in response to what you're saying, they have offered other PDFs.
Tell us if it's not part of the record, Counselor. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was simply trying to answer.
I understand that. It's a real temptation, but I prefer you stick to the record.
Counsel, may I ask you a question? Did your request require them to create a new record by extracting information from existing records and compile the information in a new format?
No, it did not, Your Honor. Our original request said, give us a copy of your database, basically. And it's interesting, if you look at Matthew's letter, he said right away, oh, you want a copy of the database that I'm using. Now, they end up, and that's the communication on May 4th, they end up contacting us and saying through Pelkey, in other words, we put in the request. We hear nothing. We eventually get a phone call from Pelkey who says, I'm here to help you get your data, but we're not going to give you a copy of the database. Do you really want all of it? Can we give you? They try to work out getting something less. At that point, Mr. Curtis says, these are the fields we're really interested in, and we do it and send it to us in a comma delimited file. That's only after they've refused to give us a copy of the database.
Counsel, I'm looking at page 115 of the appendix, and this is a follow-up of the question asked by Justice Ziegler. I have in that appendix page the April 20th, 2001 letter, and it doesn't say anything about a database. Am I missing something that says that this is to formally request an electronic digital copy of the detailed real estate property records showing the specific characteristics of each parcel and the improvements thereupon used and or maintained by the assessor in determining the proper assessment for each parcel within the Village of Sussex. Please advise when we can pick it up, etc.
It does not use the word database, correct. Mm-hmm. But just as we've seen, Mr. Matthews said, oh, and he put that in writing, you want a copy of the database. That's the same thing Mr. Matthews, as well as we get this all across the state. We get the database for the for those municipalities that keep it in electronic data, we get the electronic databases from them. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get anything back from them that said, gee, are you asking for our database? We're not sure what you want. Would you help us? If you read
Something's wrong here because you said you didn't get anything back from them, but just about 2 minutes ago you were detailing this kind of back and forth conversation about, well, can I get it in this certain format, and can we do this, the discussion between Pelkey and someone else. So it isn't clear.
What I'm saying is, yes, Mr. Pelkey called us and said, and as indicated in his response, that we were not going to get the entire database, but that is there a lesser amount that we want? And that's what they're going through at that point. But I thought, Your Honor's, the question was, how would they know it's a database?
That's right. Essentially, I'm asking because I don't see those words and I don't see the interpretation in your request of April 20th, 2001. But if you can point me to some other place, I can just follow that then.
Yes, I believe.
Where you've made a request.
Okay. Right. I think it is, you get part of that on 274, Your Honor, where you see the detailed, and this actual exhibit appears various places in the response. It actually starts on 269, where you see Mr. Curtis responding back saying, these are the fields that we would want.
You're saying that what appears on page 269 constitutes your request under the statutes, chapter 19?
It constitutes, it's part of the enhanced request, Your Honor, after Mr. Pelkey said they're not going to give us the entire database. We also see 271 is his detail, plus if you go to page 274.
Did you serve this on... what you're referring to is Respondent Appendix 269, and it starts out Andy, which I assume is Mr.
Pelkey. Did you serve this, what you call, enhanced request on the city? And if so, or the municipalities, or Grota? And if so, point me to where your request is set forth.
Your Honor, no, we did not give it specifically back to municipalities, but the municipalities knew of the conversations that were going on. If you look at exhibit on 211, you see the response that the Mr. Macy, as the village attorney from Sussex, is saying he's seen Andrew Pelkey's response. In the last paragraph of that first page, says Andy Pelkey's correspondence to me reads more like an advertisement than it does a public records request. If you go into that, he also argues with how can he justify the costs and so forth. The point being is, Your Honor, it can't be we make the request to A, who then sends it to B, who sends it to C. C calls us. I think there's apparent authority there. C calls us and says, I'm fulfilling this. That's who we're working it out with. And we now know C even communicated back to A, that's what it is. But now A is saying, oh, you never sent that directly to me. I don't think we're required to. I think if A passed it along for C to send it to us, A being the municipalities, C being Pelkey, we can rely on that. He's the one that we never contact him directly. He's called us in regard to our request.
Counselor, it was represented to us by the attorney for the Matthews that when you made your request upon them, they said, we cannot give you our database. It would violate our licensing agreement. Can you respond to that, please?
Yes, that is exactly what they said. And he was very candid about saying that. He said, I can't give it to you. He knew what we wanted. He said, violates the licensing agreement. But I think if there's a licensing agreement that takes public records and puts it beyond where anybody can get to it, it would be like if this court entered into some agreement with a stenographer saying, okay, you've got the records, but you've got all the minutes of this court, but nobody else can ever see it. You can't do that with public records. They can't.
It's not that the information wasn't there. It was just not in a format that you preferred, as I understand.
No, we wanted the same form that the municipalities had paid to put it in. We weren't asking to convert it. We weren't asking them to change it. If they had it only as PDFs, that's all we'd be able to get. I absolutely agree with that. But they didn't. They kept it in an access database. That's the way the public records were maintained, and that's what we... Excuse me, Your Honor. That's what we believe we're interested in. Well, that's what we know we're interested in. And we also know, although they say, and we see in the Attorney General's brief that, well, you know, what about if it's very complex? That has nothing to do with the facts of this case. The facts of this case are by their own witness. They said it would take less than 2 to 3 minutes the way he always makes a copy of it. Not per record, the entire database.
And who had that database? You think the municipalities had it or only the assessor?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Who had the database? Only the municipalities, only the assessor?
Both had it, Your Honor. Both had it. And as you've heard Mr. Johnson say, the municipalities had read-only version. If you look at, I think it's page 383, that's where, let me make sure I have that site right. 323, I'm sorry. Thiensville responds and says we have the read-only database. Sussex, pages 152, 154, and 166 essentially say we have a database too, but it's GIS format. One of the amazing things here is that the municipalities, all of a sudden, after the Court of Appeals decision, and I mean the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, not the Seventh Circuit, said, oh, we've been trying to give you the data. That's not true.
Counselor, if Matthews is right that they'd violate their licensing agreement with the owner of Market Drive, and if they gave you what you requested, are they really the party you need to be suing here?
I'm sorry?
Are they really a party you need to be suing here? You don't seem to dispute that that was the terms of their agreement.
That may have been the terms of the agreement, but I think that's agreement A, against public policy, and B, since they have the data, And since the law is extremely clear that a litigation should encompass all parties to whom you need for complete relief, the point is we as the requester should be able to request it, not go through all this and then say, oh, well, the actual custodian was never part of the action, so the mandamus doesn't apply to them. I concur they are not subject to the fees and costs of 1937.
Because they're not an authority?
Pardon?
Because they're not an authority?
Correct. I concur, and I have changed my position on that. I think when I stood before the Court of Appeals, it was my position that I thought we had dual authorities. As you see from my briefs and so on, and looking at the comment, I think they're right. How can you say that they are an authority where the law says and incorporates in the public records law the specific definition of 1942, and then further, if you just take a step back and look at the logic, if you buy the municipality's logic, they're saying that this entity, this contract assessor, is a local public officer who has the powers and rights of the officer, but he doesn't have any of the obligations to be ethical. That just doesn't make sense that the legislature would ever set up and say you can have one and not the other.
Counselor, I wonder how many people are going to want to be independent contractor assessors if they read our literature on this case. I mean, they've got to spend a ton of money on attorney's fees.
Frankly, I think everybody will continue to do so. Many of the municipalities use contract assessors now, and it's Mr. Grota that is the principal person that we're not getting the data from. The court may look, we haven't started open record actions against anybody else. We get data constantly from all the other municipalities, large and small, all the way from Milwaukee to, I think there are a couple that send us, Milwaukee having a large database, and
they do it themselves or they have a contractor?
Pardon? In
Milwaukee themselves or a contract?
I think Milwaukee is internal.
Okay.
But there's Colair, Trumbull, I can't think of all the different names, but there's a lot of other companies out there that do the same sort of thing that Grota and Assessment Technology does and are providing the data.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked opposing counsel. How would you want this opinion written, so that you don't have people not willing to make contracts with the municipality and that we can't get our assessments done effectively?
Quite simply,
at the same time, public. Go ahead.
Right. I believe it's in one sentence. The person holding the public records, I suspect the opinion will be longer than that, but I suspect the person holding the public record, whether it is in digital or paper format, has the obligation to give them what they have in the form it's in. Now, that's presuming, of course, there's no issues of do you have Social Security numbers or other things that may not be in there. But that's never come up in this case, and confidentiality of information doesn't appear in there, although I would also have to say, as an aside, I think having an electronic database where you can eliminate a sensitive field instantly versus having to go page by page by page by page deleting it is easier. But my answer to Your Honor is the authority, the municipality, has the obligation to offer to the requester what they have in the form they keep it in.
Well, does that mean you don't have any cause of action against Matthews and Grata and Assessment Technologies? That your real cause of action is against the municipalities?
Well, it depends what part of the cause of action. If you're
okay,
saying for a mandamus, I think it's unclear as to who's controlling who. I think we are entitled to get everybody in that may have the copy.
Okay, I agree with that, but I'm asking you how to write the opinion. And I hear you saying that the municipality is the authority, not the assessor, not the company. Is that right?
The municipality, I'm sorry, Your
Honor. Is the authority.
Yes, I believe that's
not
correct.
Not the assessor, the company.
I believe the Court of Appeals was absolutely correct.
Okay,
in
that. Therefore, mandamus was correct against the municipalities, right?
Correct.
And they cannot now claim, I guess, that it was at the time that they weren't given enough time or the scope was bad, because they never said that before. Is that your position
correct
on that? Okay. Why is PDF not okay in light of the fact that, with all due respect, counsel, you didn't say PDF is not okay. You used a very broad term.
For two reasons, Your Honor. One, I believe our communication with Pelkey constitutes an enhanced request.
Okay.
At that point, we specifically said comma delimited.
Okay.
PDF is not a comma delimited format.
Okay.
We also have problems with the PDF as we discussed it. But I think once the authority has somebody call us and say, what do you want? And we refine it and say, okay, if you don't want to give us the entire database, we'll just take this set and we need it in a comma delimited format. At that point, just like the communication that happened in the City of Milwaukee case with the police department, we've enhanced our request, and PDF is not a comma delimited format.
So I gather that you think the appropriate way a municipality handles a request for electronic digital data is, if there's any question about what will satisfy it, call you, iron it out, talk to you. If you can agree. If you can't, you've got a lawsuit.
I agree, but I think the authority has the obligation to offer what they have.
Okay.
Counsel, what about this? I'm looking at page 8 of the Grota appraisal brief, and in a footnote, it talks about CCAP, which is the Circuit Court Automated Project. And it says, for instance, access to CCAP is provided for free to the public via the Internet, but is single query based on and ordinarily generates only results on the single query. Access to the full database that the CCAP website queries, however, is provided at the rate of 5,000 per year or 500 monthly on a subscription basis. Now, CCAP, arguably, I don't know this, but you could say that maybe CCAP, it's a government entity, should seek, and should you be able to get their subscription series via a open records request?
To answer that, although that question, it's in his brief, but it's not in the record, may I respond with...
Sure, I like hypotheticals. Hypothetically speaking.
Since I was part of the original team that wrote the CJIS and CCAP, CJIS was the first one, the criminal justice system, and then CCAP. The answer to Your Honor is I believe the CCAP information is similar to this question in that there's raw data there. To the extent, and I'm unaware if anybody's ever made the request for just the raw data, I think it would have to be supplied by the court system. CCAP is a separate vehicle that runs, it's basically a program when you access it that allows your browser to query this database and to get certain information presented to you. I'm very familiar with that. I've owned a number of computer companies, the most recent one which was sold to Amazon. Well, we did also, we handled huge databases where there's sensitive data in. The same thing, you have an internet program, without trying to get too deep into it, you have an internet vehicle.
Stand behind the microphone, go ahead.
May I finish?
Yes, you're not standing in the microphone.
Oh, I'm
won't
sorry.
Won't pick you up. Okay.
I apologize.
You're being
you, safe. You have the basis by which you query, may I finish?
No, yes, of course.
The basis by which you query that database, whether it's through the Internet via CJIS or CCAP, or whether it's by a source where you're running directly online and hot, where it's actually residing in your computer, you're still accessing the same database. There's been no evidence before this court. There's nothing in the record about what happens with CCAP. I've really been distant from that for a number of years, so I have no idea whether a request is made. But frankly, I believe the court records are public records. And to the extent the court records are in a database, that raw data in whatever form or format, and I believe it's a SQL Server database, but I'm honestly not sure. I don't know at this point. That data, that raw data, belongs to the public. The state can, I believe, and certainly has the right to say, okay, we're going to write a program, and we're going to make that program on communicative, on certain feeds, either individually or group, and I can pay the state to run their program and buy it in a group, or I probably have the right to get the information by myself. I just suspect that, frankly, given the overall success of CCAP, that there'd be no reason to do it. I mean, in the industry, you know, Florida's having problems with that, where they cut off who can access what. But the bottom line answer is the raw data, yes, I believe the extent to which that is in a public.
And the format of the raw data?
As it's sitting. I mean, if it's in a SQL database, if it's in a IBM form database, I just don't know how it is. But, yeah, we can get it exactly as the municipality or the government maintains it.
But it's a read-only format that we pull up when we look at our computers. You can't manipulate the data that's on there.
No, Your Honor, that's, if I may, that's not, I'm talking about, that's where things have been confused here. Databases in and of themselves are inherently manipulable. The data can be manipulated. And although you may run CCAP and we can't change it, we certainly know that court clerks enter data in it and change it and do that all the time, so that the data is changeable and the data is accessible. Now, I certainly could not, and nor do I suggest I can, as a requester, reach in and get to the original CCAP data. I'm not trying to say that, but I'm saying I could get a copy of that data and I can manipulate it any way I want and turn around and sell it. And I believe you'd be able to do that. I mean, that's the same court information that's there. And in point of fact, I mean, part of this overall thing is what will be the fear of software vendors. Well, look at the amici that have come in here. The amici that are software vendors like Mead and Lexis, they're filing saying, yeah, we want this. This should be accessible, and the problems of fear don't exist. A fear of, you know, we wouldn't be able to contract.
Thank you.
Did I answer?
Sure, you did. Thank you.
If I may, in two sentences, Your Honor?
Quickly.
Okay. It's our opinion that the legislature says in 1931 that a representative government depends on an informed electorate. The statute further goes on to say that that electorate is, quote, entitled to the greatest possible information concerning the affairs of government. Taxes are where citizens and government compete, go head to head. If in any area data should be accessible, it should be in that. That's what we're asking for. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Bitar, you've got 5 minutes in rebuttal.
A couple of points, Your Honor. The assessors in this case are asking the court to ignore their function, their admissions in this file, their pleadings, and the legislative grant of power under 70.05, as well as Chapter 61 for cities and 60 for villages and 61 for cities. The record in this case is clear, and it's undisputed that they are not independent contractors, just merely in name. If you look at the record, they understand that they are fulfilling a public office and that they are office holders. If you look at Grota's contract, it acknowledges that he takes an oath of office, that he has responsibilities for meetings with taxpayers to sign the assessment roll and to furnish testimony. It's further admitted in his answer to the First Amended complaint in this lawsuit that he is the authority, as that term is used, in Section 19.32, subsection 1. Look at paragraph 18 of Grota's answer. It's further admitted in the answer that the records are in his custody. And there can be no dispute about what wire data is looking for. And that Grota had it, and that Grota took steps, as well as Matthews took steps, to respond to that. The municipalities only had a viewer version. And to the extent any arguments are made that that can be replicated in a couple minutes, we would only be replicating a viewer version. That's not what Wire Data wants. And I just don't see how the municipalities, I think it's manifestly unfair and unjust to the municipalities to force them to incur the penalties under 19.37 when decisions were made for self-interested business reasons by the assessors that in no way furthered the governmental interest.
Counselor, how long would it have taken you to copy what you have in the format that you have and just give it to Wire Data?
Well, Your Honor, I'd have to guess. I mean, we offered them the information in the paper copy and then the PDF. There's some support in the record that, yeah, maybe that takes a few minutes to export, or not to export, but to copy the PDF version. But that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for the database.
I know exactly what they're looking for.
Sure.
I was just wondering how long would it take you to copy what you had
Sure. And
provide it to them, and then also was there any estimate of the cost, the reasonable cost of providing that given to Wire Data?
Sure. Well, there's no record on that. I mean,
okay. That's
Wire Data never asked us to do that. Comments were made that whether Grota and Matthews are in the same position legally. Well, yes, they are. They're both authorities. They're both statutorily appointed. Look at their contracts. Look at the deposition testimony for Grota and Matthews. If we look at Matthews in particular, he admitted that he is the municipal assessor and that he had to comply with the open records law. That's from Matthews' deposition at page 39. The next page, page 40 in Matthews' deposition, he's aware of the open records law. At pages 65 to 66, he acknowledges that he holds a municipal office position. His contract, likewise, is very similar with Grota. These are public office holders performing a public function. Points were also made that, well, could we have better contracts, or could we have added this to the contracts, or could we have indemnified these assessors? Those aren't the issues before the court, and obviously you can always have better contracts. But what controls in this case is the open records law, not the contracts. This court has to give meaning to the definition of authority. It has to look at who is the office holder and give meaning to authority, and not look at the definition of authority rigidly like the Court of Appeals did, and not rely upon 19.36 governing independent contractors, because that is not what we have here.
How much should Wire Data have to pay for this information?
How much should they have to pay, Your Honor?
Yeah.
Well, I think the Seventh Circuit seemed to think that the initial offer of around $6,600 may have been excessive. But again, those are decisions and communications in this case were between Grota in particular and Wire Data. And those quotes came from Mr. Pelkey, who in no way is an agent or having any type of relationship with the municipalities. I mean, I think that's quite clear. You will not find any type of contract with Mr. Pelkey. And he's the one who made those quotes, not the municipalities.
It seems to me bad government to follow your argument. That is, what you are arguing is, I'm a municipality, but I can contract with someone else who contracts with someone else who contracts with someone else, and we can send them to this, you know, the end of the road person. And if they get a little tussle, it's not our guy, you know, not my problem.
But that is certainly not what we're advocating.
Okay. It seems to undermine what we are to be about. So what are you arguing then?
Well,
Pelkey isn't your problem?
No. We had no relationship with Pelkey, and those communications were between Wire Data and Pelkey. The assessors in this case are the proper authority who had to make the decisions, and they began to work to make the decisions and work to produce the information that Wire Data wanted. And they had those communications, and then Pelkey got into the picture. But the assessors in this case are proper authorities. I agree with you that they're slippery slope arguments if we have a different record. And the Journal Sentinel case bears that out. This is not the Journal Sentinel case. This is a case where we have assessors holding a public office. And I think we need to look also at the building trades case, and if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Makata, because in those cases, the courts at least recognized that the municipalities fulfilled their obligations by offering the information that they had. And the requesters were looking for information that were third degrees removed from the relationship between the municipality and its independent contractor. And that's the same thing we have here. Here, in this case, the requesters knew exactly what they wanted, and it was Grota and Matthews who rejected that, and the municipalities offered everything in their possession, and at that point they had fulfilled their obligations under the open records law. I do see that my time is up, but I'd answer any more questions if the court would like.
Nope. We're fine. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Johnson?
First of all, I'd like to make a factual clarification. There was a representation made that there was money in fact paid to Grota Appraisals for the records that were transmitted in the PDF format. And as a point of fact, there was no money received. Next, I'd like to turn to the issues that the court was dealing with this so-called enhanced request. First of all, the request that was made to Pelkey, it was made to the wrong person. He's under nobody's argument here today is he an authority. He's a computer programmer. He's a software developer. He works for Impact Consultants, who in turn works for Assessment Technologies. So the enhanced request, to the extent that the court considers it, was made to the wrong person. And if the court does consider the enhanced request, it would, in fact, require the generation of a new record. The data would have to be provided in the specification that Wire Data laid out. They have a certain date order that they're looking for. And we don't have it in that order. We don't have it in comma, quote, delimited. The data does not reside in that format. So if the court considers that, it would generate a new record to comply with the format situation. Second of all, if we happen to have had it in a different format, which it is in a different format than what we were asking for, then they required a data layout. And under no stretch of the open records law is that data layout under the purview of what is considered a record under 1932.
Counselor, it was represented during the arguments that were made that you're making too much of the fact that if you simply copied the Grota simply copied its database and gave it to Wire Data, that somehow they would be able to reverse engineer the program that was developed to maintain that and manipulate that data. Can you respond to that, please?
Absolutely. Assessment Technologies of Wisconsin has expended considerable time and effort to come up with what they believe is the best data format. Database developers and their very expertise is based on how well they place the data in its organization. They create what are called relational databases. They're skilled to this, and so therefore, if that information is divulged, that is Assessment Technologies' proprietary information. That has nothing to do with receiving facts. That has nothing to do with receiving factual data, whether a house is 2,000 square feet or 1,800 square feet. And another thing I'd like to point out, too, is that how Andy Pelkey may happen to think that the data can be extracted and how quickly he can perform that function is not relevant to this case. On this record, we have Michael Grota and Ernest Matthews, who are professed computer semi-illiterate. And if somebody would ask me to perform this database extraction, I wouldn't know how to do it either. So how Andy Pelkey does data extraction and how Wire Data's own computer expert would perform data extraction, how quickly it would take them, that's not relevant. What is relevant is that it would require the generation of a new record, and if not the generation of a new record, it would require the data layout be provided. So that the data layout is what we're referring to.
And that's what is proprietary, the data layout?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
My next point is that I heard for the first time today from Wire Data that Grota Appraisals and Matthews Assessments weren't authorities. This is the first time that we'd heard that, and I'm happy to hear that. And it turns out that if they feel that that's the case, we shouldn't have been parties to this matter in the first instance. And I'd like to point out to this court that the case, and I think the court has caught on to this, the case is not about access to data. It's about the format of the data. And it's not the government's responsibility to decipher what Wire Data would think is the best format. It's about who should
pay the costs of private computer programming transactions in order to get the data into Wiredata's database. Furthermore, the authorities have a choice when they produce the records. It's the custodian, not the requester, who has the option to choose on how to produce records. And lastly, under our open records law, the facts themselves may be records, but not the data organization. That's not a record. The data organization is done by private computer programming firms that contract with people who happen to contract with the government. By virtue of that, they do not become subject to open records law.
That's the major issue between you, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That are you entitled to the facts or are you entitled to the data organization? That's what the whole fight's about.
Absolutely. And the facts have never been concealed from wider data. For that reason, I thank the court for its time.
Thank you, counsel. We want to thank all of you for your time and your explaining electronic digital records to us and your stamina and the court's stamina for this oral argument. That concludes 2005 AP 1473, 174, 2006, 2006 is 175. Wired Data, Inc. versus Sussex, Themesville, and Port Washington. This concludes our March arguments, and we are adjourned until our April arguments. The court will meet in a conference at 4:15, closed conference. We're adjourned.